and the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4C, M11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B 2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Donald Myers speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
CKUW 95.9 FM broadcasts from the University of Winnipeg, located on Treaty 1 territory and the national homeland of the Red River Métis in Winnebuck, Manitowabi. We acknowledge these are the ancestral lands of the Anishinaabeg, Anishininu, Aninuak, Nahethoak, Ocheti Shikoe, Dakota Oyate, and Métis people. This territory is also a place of significance for the Dene and Inuit. We acknowledge that our water is sourced from Shoal Lake 40 First Nation in Treaty 3 territory, and that most of our hydroelectricity comes from Treaty 5 territory in northern Manitoba. As a community-driven, not-for-profit organization, CKUW 95.9 FM strives to respect, value, and incorporate Indigenous knowledge and perspectives into our programming and organization in the spirit of truth and reconciliation. Remembering the original spirit and intent of the treaties, we recognize that the work of reconciliation is ongoing.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are here. We are here live.
We are.
Yes, yes.
We walked through it.
This half hour, Carol on the roof. One of us is going up on the roof. Looking for ancient radio waves. We got our easy listening hit parade. Oh, got a treasure I found at the MCC. CFAM celebrated 50 years. They put a nice little booklet. We got some music to go with that as well. Quick look at the Free Press book pages as well. Big spread on the author that we will be talking to next Thursday and next Saturday. Yes. Carol McKibben.
Yes. Listen.
We were dressed for it.
I'm not crying because I'm all emotional over you. The wind and weather.
Yes.
Has driven tears out of my eyes.
All right. Let's have that right now, shall we?
Have the weather?
Sure, if you've got it there.
Yep. Okay. It's only minus 28, Ron.
See?
You thought
see?
It was much worse than that.
Well, I had, to our listeners in Ireland, I was wearing my Rupert the Bear scarf.
Oh, good, good.
A big, heavy thing, and it does the trick.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you wind it around a couple of times, and yes, covers your nose.
Cuts off the circulation. Yeah.
Barometric pressure 103.7, and sad to say, is falling. Humidity 73%. Wind coming from the south.
Yeah, I noticed.
Which just doesn't help right now because it's cold down there too. Wind chill minus 38.
Yep, that's what it was. All right.
However, it's going to be mostly sunny today
because
this is the prairies and it's sunshiny all the time. Wind up to 15 kilometers an hour and a high today, minus 25. We're almost there.
Yep.
Minus 28
now. It won't
now.
Be long now.
Yeah. Yep. Wind chill minus 39 this morning. We've already beaten that, so only minus 38. And only minus 33
you know what?
This afternoon. Yes?
It's going to be better by Tuesday.
Well, that's good, because there's a risk of frostbite today. Right. Well, in about an hour from now,
yes,
I'm going to actually talk about how
it's going to be
by Tuesday.
Just remind you of that, and all right.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Stay tuned for more weather.
Quick look at sports for you. Hockey in the NHL, Winnipeg Jets, Detroit Red Wings tonight at 6. See, they sent two boys back down to the Moose, so it means a couple of healthy scratches will be back on the ice. As I say, tonight at 6, seems to me, yes. All right, in the AHL, the Manitoba Moose played the Grand Rapids Griffins last night, and the Moose lost 2-1. Same game Sunday at 2. Professional Women's Hockey League today at 2. It's Ottawa and Montreal. Sunday at 2, New York and Minnesota. 5 p.m., Vancouver and Seattle. The Belfast Giants went 3-1 on the road against the Guildford Flames, and I'm quoting here now, increasing their winning run to 6 games.
Wow.
Wonder if any of those boys would like to come play for the Jets.
Exactly.
Or any of the Jets would like to go there, play in Belfast. Some NHL, right. As we know, Theo Fleury played for the Belfast Giants
way
back
absolutely.
When. Basketball, Toronto Raptors took on the Portland Trail Blazers last night. The Raptors won 110-98. Sunday, Raptors and Oklahoma City Thunder. Curling, the Scotties is on. Started Ooh. Yesterday, runs until February the 1st.
Man, I missed that.
2026 Scotties in Mississauga, Ontario. So Canada, playing for Canada, Carrie Anderson. Anderson, 1-0. She's got one win, no losses. And playing for Manitoba, Caitlin Laws is 1-0 as well at the Scotties.
Well done.
Details to follow
like
the week by next weekend.
We like Carrie. Yes.
6:06. Turning then to our easy listening hit parade, the 40s and 50s. Introduced the song we're going to play originally by Burl Ives, but it was, and in fact, that'll be next week's song. Next week's song introduced by Burl Ives.
Okay.
But for this week,
how about Jim
Four
Reeves?
Waltz. Exactly what I was going to say.
Four Waltz.
Storyline, in case you can't figure it out, I can't believe that. You don't even, it's a country song. There'll be tears and sadness and hurting. Man forsaken by a woman, loves the bright lights and the good times of the honky-tonk life. So country immortal Jim Reeves, third smash number one country hit, 1957 release. But this moved him over the line to the attention of pop as well as country fans.
Out where the bright lights are glowing, you're drawn like a moth to a flame. You laugh while the wine's overflowing, while I sit and whisper your name. Four walls to hear me, four walls to see, four walls to hear me. Sometimes I ask why I'm waiting, but my walls have nothing to say. I'm made for love, not for hating. So here, where you left me, I'll stay. One night with you is like heaven, and so while I'm walking the floor, I listen for steps in the hallway and wait for your knock on my door. Oh.
silver hit for him, took him into pop territory. He came across the song accidentally, he says, in guitarist record executive Chet Atkins' office. Chet had a stack, didn't everybody have a stack of material on his desk? It's like publishing, you know, over the transom, the slush pile.
All right.
So he had a big stack on his desk of Listen to My Music. It toppled off and fell into the wastebasket. And Reeves retrieved it. He liked the title, took a closer look at it, and said he'd like to record it. And bingo, bango, bongo.
Wow.
If it isn't true, it's a wonderful story, Carol.
Yes, true.
From your Easy Listening Hit Parade there at 6:11. Hold the line. Just hold the front page. This just in. Sports news.
Yes.
Blue Bombers have re-signed defensive star and defensive end Jefferson, Willie Jefferson.
Excellent. 6 foot
An extension
seven.
Of a contract of 1 year. And if you've ever seen the man with his arms out, that's extension.
Yes.
That's exactly what that is.
Yep. And once he jumps in the air with his arms above his head,
he blots out the sun.
Yes, and he knocks down every ball he has.
Initially joined the Bombers 2019. 16 knockdowns, tied his franchise record set in 2019. Yep. Third most in CFL history. With Jefferson inked, that leaves left tackle Stanley Bryant, the Ancient of Days, as the biggest name on the club's pending free agent list. All right.
Right.
Because, as we all know, Tanner Cadwalader is back. They did a nice little piece of him a couple weeks ago.
He also signed. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well done.
I promised. I'm looking at CFM Radio, 950, 50 years, 1957-2007, Community Service Radio. When I was a boy, Carol.
Yes.
Used to listen. I came across it by accident at night, I guess. CFAM, CHSM, Altona Steinbeck, particularly for Classics Till Dawn.
Oh, I see.
Which, of course, were vinyl. And back then it was mono. Just as stereo was coming in, do you think CFAM cared? Of course not. They had this record library and they were going to use it. So you could hear the old the conductors of the past. Arturo Toscanini conducting the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
Okay. Impressive.
Exactly. Maybe even throw the odd John Barbaroli in there just from time to time. Mm-hmm. So March the 13th, 1957, 50 years of service to Southern Manitoba.
So they can be blamed for your love of radio? Over the years?
I suppose. Yeah. I suppose in classical music.
Right.
They signed on 8:01 p.m. March 13, 1957, opening on 1,000 watts, located at 1290 in the AM dial, housed in a small studio that was newly built, especially for this operation in Altona. And I think they had to go to CBC for this. The application by the Southern Manitoba Broadcasting Company Limited for the station was made to the CBC, which was responsible for issuing broadcast licenses at the time.
Oh, right.
Sounds a little odd. Yes. Okay.
Well, because they were maybe run by the government, so.
Yeah, but you don't want another radio station saying whether or not you can be on the air.
Yeah,
sounds
exactly.
A little odd, doesn't it, by today's standards? Anyways, lots of good things in here about the way back when of it, the music they played, partnered with the Steinbeck Treble Teams to produce an LP recording. During Manitoba's centennial year, created a special commemorative recording with the Mennonite Children's Choir. Music was big.
Yes.
Of a particular Faith and Life choirs. They used to do a show called, too, I won't be able to find it on short notice, but it opened with seagulls.
Oh, right.
And a foghorn.
Yes.
And then a male choir would sing, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest.
Wow.
Then I would turn the radio off.
I see. You just like that part.
And Aunt Ollie.
Aunt Ollie.
Used to do children's programming on CFAM.
Okay.
And she would take letters that people had sent. If Carol will look in the pantry, she will find a birthday present for her.
Wow.
So my friend, Clancy Smith, we were at university by this time, wrote in.
Right.
And used the name of one of our other friends who was at university, Mike Prime.
Right.
If little Mike Prime will look in the pantry, he'll find a present from his uncle George Stigler. George Stigler was a famous economist from the United States. We cackled. We thought this was
hilarious.
Slapped our thighs, Carol. Yes. This was hilarious.
University pranks.
Well, what they did was, though, included in this copy, someone has included CFAM 950, Sangerfest.
Oh, right.
To celebrate.
Singfest.
Yes, exactly. To celebrate, I guess, the 50 years. Southern Manitoba Choral Society, the Faith and Life Women's Chorus, the Faith and Life Male Choir, and
Yes.
Prairie Voices were there.
Oh, wow.
Well. CD, Autumn, because they were there at the celebration of the 50 years of CFAM.
Wow.
More about radio. Well, you remember Russ Gorlock did his book on Edens, he did a book
yes.
on Selkirk Avenue, he did a book on Portage Avenue, and he was going to do a book on radio, and he called me and said, I'm leaving, I'm going to Vancouver, live there.
Right.
Perhaps he's enough of winter. I'll give you all my research.
Wow. And you go ahead and
finish it off. To do
the
book on radio.
Yes.
And I said, well, tell me how you work. And he said, well, I go at it 7 days a week. He said, I said, oh, okay, that settles that right there. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. And I don't know if I recommend it, but anyways, Gary Moyer did the book.
Right.
And it's called The Golden Age of Manitoba Radio. On
yes.
the air. It's in the Winnipeg Public Library. There are 15 copies.
Wow, excellent.
So if you want to know a bit more about CFAM, CHSM, both CBC, private radio as well, before the internet, before TV, Manitoba was a hotbed for innovation in radio. First publicly owned radio station to the first play-by-play broadcast of women's hockey.
Wow.
During World War II, Winnipeg broadcaster was as well-known in England as Churchill.
Hokey doodle.
Yes, exactly. Neil Young's very first recording, done here, local radio station. It's all
wow.
in Gary Moyer's book.
Cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
At 6:20, all right, Carol McKibben, come on now. So you've got
well,
your...
just give me a minute to put my coat, my
there
hat,
you go.
My cowl,
there you
my...
Go. Yep, it's right above your head,
mask.
And it's protected up there, really, from the elements. Just give you the microphone.
Yeah,
and push
so bad.
Just a bit. We're looking. Come in, Angel Radio Waves.
About 10 years ago, it was This Country of the Morning, we sent Danny Finkelman out to see what he could buy for one Canadian dollar. And last week we asked Stuart to find out what a shrinking dollar could buy. in an age of steady inflation. How'd you do?
Well, of course, the first thing I did fine. First thing I did was phoned up Dan.
And see what he got. Yeah. I can't remember all of
Oh, I do. I remember that. I don't remember. I didn't remember everything. But I remembered number one on the list. That was just a wonderful moment of radio. The number one on his list was the Styptic pencil.
Right. He brought in the Styptic pencil.
So I thought...
I've never seen one. Well, my stepfather had one.
The Styptic pencil?
Yeah.
Well, you got a beard in your face. You know
I know. Well, I didn't always. Anyway, he got that.
Yeah. And he got the Styptic pencil. He got the penny match.
Yeah.
Or this is now, he didn't remember the whole list either. And Dan, you're a little wrong in the intro. Dan didn't do everything for a buck. It was Dan's bargains.
Oh, yeah?
Dan's bargains for a modern world. So he had the Styptic pencil, the penny match, the coat hanger, city water, and yeah. the toothpick. Okay,
oh,
those were his.
Yes.
Those were his. So I stood out there on Friday with my crisp new Canadian dollar bill leaving the house, and attitude is key here. Right, I took the crisp new bill. I mean, it's like in the locker room before the big game. Because if I'd gone out with the old, worn out, crumpled bill or four quarters, you can't get much for four quarters, right? So I went out with a new bill and my job to do. And I talked to Dan, and so I thought I'd just start with Dan's list.
Okay,
right off the top, I went off and went to the drugstore.
He bought what he bought.
Well, I went to see if I could fit any of his items into my list, right? And so I started with a Styptic pencil, went to the drugstore, almost croaked. You know what I suppose we should tell people what the Styptic pencil is. There's some people standing out there. The Styptic pencil is a white piece of what looks like ivory, I suppose, about the size of a golf pencil, a little like a pencil sawed in half. It's all white. And what you do is when you cut yourself shaving, you dip this into water, put it on the cut.
Do you? Do you dip it in water?
You dip it in water.
Oh, no wonder.
Put it on the cut, and it's not unlike pouring salt or rubbing salt into the wound, and your cut goes like that, and you stop bleeding.
Yes.
And so it's just to stop you from cutting, from bleeding when you cut. What they've done to the Styptic pencil is they got it on cardboard backing, and this is an odious social trend. They put the shrink wrap around it, and they're selling...
Well, you can't go in there and sample it. I mean, if you went run into the drugstore with your bleeding chin, you can't
nobody would do that.
Well,
they used to have the Styptic pencil in a little cardboard box. You'd pick one up. It was about 10 cents. Now it's two for $1.39. Now maybe Sweeney Todd could go through with more than one Styptic pencil in a lifetime. But these things last forever. Now... No one that I know will ever come close to finishing one.
I mean, I know it's like Tabasco sauce. You never run out of that. You never finish your
Have you ever noticed how Tabasco sauce changes color? You know how you get
it
red?
It does.
It goes brown.
Right.
Don't use the brown stuff, folks. Anyways, even on a per unit basis at $1.39, say you've got 1,000, you'd get 1,000 cuts out of the Styptic pencils. A good buy, but not for me. Okay, on this shopping trip, I had to scratch the Styptic pencil and go down the list. Number two, the penny match. Now, the penny match is up to 2 cents. Yeah, it's 2 cents for a penny match. But you get 20 matches, and I got these. Wow, you should know these things.
No, I have a lighter.
Well, I got these ones here, Eddie Lights, from a drugstore on Spadina. And what I love about them is, look at this package of matches. This is the little book, folks, that they sell at the front of the store. There's no advertising on these ones.
Well, I'll pay 2 cents for that, because we're the only country, I think, in the world that makes you have to buy people's advertising on their penny matches.
Yeah, well, these ones have no advertising. They were made to be sold. And you know what else I love about the penny match? Is they're sold on the honor system. Right?
That's right. You grab some and you give them some money.
They always leave the cardboard box by the cash register, and you're supposed to throw in your pennies, and if necessary, you make your own change. And now, I've been in some stores where if you're a few cents short on the item you're buying, you're buying a different product, the store owner will reach down into the box and pull out those extra few pennies for you and give them to you. Now, I've also seen people throw in their change pennies into the box without buying matches. And the way I understand it, it's okay if you don't have pennies to take the matches from a store without paying, as long as you throw some extra pennies into a box, any box, some other day somewhere else. Right? Now, Dan said it all 10 years ago. You used to have to rub two sticks together for an hour to get fire. Now we got the matchbook. I bought a pack. 2 cents gone. Yeah. I got 98 cents in my pocket.
Okay.
Next on Dan's list, the coat hanger. Cheapest I saw them were 12 cents each. Who buys a coat hanger?
The cleaners buy the coat hangers, and you get them free.
And they breed in my cupboard like rattlesnakes.
I know. Who can imagine going out to buy a coat hanger?
I mean, if I'm running short, which is an impossible situation, I just have to send something to the cleaners. It's simple. When they ask folded or hangers, I say hangers, and I get as many as I need for free.
Right.
I didn't buy the coat hanger.
Good.
City Water. City Water is an incredible bargain. Now, it's gone up in price about 3.5 times since Dan sat here.
Has it?
Yeah, but it's still a deal. In 1986, the City of Toronto will sell you 1,000 gallons of water for $2. Now, think about it. They'll install a delivery system right to your house. They'll get the water to you, cleaned and purified whenever you want it, deliver it to you 24 hours a day, no reservations, no advance warning. It's there when you want it, and you can do what you want with it. Right? No questions asked. And when you're finished with it, no matter what you've done to it,
they'll take it back. Right.
I buy 25 gallons of cleaned and purified water. Cost me a nickel. Now, for those of you who can't visualize this, 25 gallons of water is enough to fill up a phone booth approximately. Lie the phone booth down, fill it up with water. You can buy that much water from the City of Toronto, 5 cents.
I don't think 25 gallons would fill a phone booth.
You don't?
No.
The way, you know how I figured this out? No. When I was a kid, we had the 5-gallon gas
I don't want
tank.
To stop you on this.
We get the mail.
Right.
Somebody's going to truck it. Officer, I'll put it back when I'm finished.
Doing my research. Okay, you got the water, you got the matches. You can start a fire and put it out.
The toothpick, it's term for now, this was difficult. Okay, the toothpick is no longer the indispensable oral aid it once was. It's been blown away by...
floss.
That's it.
The dreaded floss.
I mean, it's indisputable that floss goes places that toothpicks can't. But do you know how many toothpicks, Oscar, you can buy for 33 cents?
No, a heck of enough to fill a phone book.
About 725. Now, I didn't try and count. This is the way it's marked here on the box. And I just love this box. Take this box. Read the label there. Everything on the front page.
Megantic, sanitary, flat-style toothpicks.
And what's it say down there in the bottom right corner?
About 715.
725!
Oh, well, I got... Oh. It's awfully small.
Well, they're awfully small product. It's the red, green, and white box. The box hasn't changed since before I was born. I bought the toothpicks. You know, this is my big-ticket item, right? 33 cents. But I didn't buy them for their utility.
No?
They're collectibles. I can say with certainty that 35 years from now, one afternoon, I can totter over to my kitchen cupboard and remember this very moment as I peer at that very box with, say, about 650 toothpicks in it. I like the toothpicks a lot.
Yeah. How much is that?
That was 33 cents. So
That's a bargoon.
That is a big bargain. More than 20 toothpicks for a penny.
Wow.
Now, I have the toothpicks, I have the water, I got the penny match, and I still got 60 cents in my pocket. I went to a pet store to get a goldfish. And I could have done it. 49 cents in Woolworth's basement for small ones, which will grow at least 6 times their size. 69 cents for the large, which will just triple. But I did better, Zosky. I got a pet for a dime, and I brought it with me this morning. Okay, I'm just going to reach down here.
This is a live thing?
This is a live thing bought for a dime.
It's in a peanut butter jar.
Yeah. Just pop it open here.
Oh my God.
I know, it's still there. I hadn't checked this morning. No, it's still there, alive and kicking. There you go. What? Bought a cricket.
Aw.
Now, I've only had him since Saturday.
He's not well, Stuart.
He is well.
He's not.
Got the sponge with the water. He's got the Nabisco shredded wheat, which you can see he's eaten about a half of, just the one little square.
He's not well, Stuart.
Why do you say this? He's fine.
We've seen this cricket. This is an insipid cricket.
People, believe me, trust me, the cricket is fine. He doesn't eat a lot. He doesn't drink enough.
This cricket has had a biscuit.
Listen, the crickets don't do much of anything. I got the mail. I got the mail because the mail has the wings. And the
Ancient radio waves that go on forever.
You stopped at the best part.
Well, that's all I could find up there. Because they couldn't stop laughing, you may remember.
Yes.
And they went away to run an ad or two, and they came back, and they started laughing again.
Yes. Well, they didn't do an ad. They played music, I suspect.
Something, I suspect, CBC. Yes. Well, we used to run ads. I've had that happen myself, and there's no stopping. Once you start, hysteria takes over.
Yes.
Peter Zosky, in conversation with Stuart McLean.
I think we've all
been there. Peter Zosky died on this day in 2002, known colloquially as Mr. Canada or Captain Canada. Broadcaster, writer, reporter, most famous for his work on CBC, This Country in the Morning and then Morningside. A number of books as well. One of the books has a CD, which has different clips. Of different things did.
The Morningside Years, something like
and
that.
And I see that still from time to time at the Children's Hospital Book Market and in the MCC, actually, on Sargent. The right. charity shop there has a copy as well.
Right. Okay.
Much love.
Does
much
it have
remembered.
The CD? Or did you check?
I didn't look.
Okay.
6:30 then. Time to turn for help and guidance from Dear Mary, from the pages of the Spectator magazine for 24th of May, 2008. Dear Mary, I recently became involved with someone who is 15 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen this done in the National Gallery.
Oh.
The old
now,
restaurant
this is,
there.
This is look your
like her grandfather.
Interpretation.
Oh, well, their body language and the chortling. And he looked
right.
at grandfather. And she, I recently became involved with someone who's 15 years younger than I am. She's very beautiful and very charming, but one thing is putting me quite seriously off her. Perhaps you could advise. I realize that her generation, early 20-somethings, do a lot of texting. We see each other about 4 nights per week, and yet I'm getting about 10 texts a day from her. The content is almost totally fatuous. I rarely reply to them, but they keep coming in. I've told her that I'm a busy man, and these constant interruptions are making me slightly hounded, but she just giggles and says she loves me so much she wants to share all her thoughts with me.
Right.
How can I, without seeming pompous, let her see that for someone of my generation, 40-something, this kind of thing is not just irritating, it is also something of a turn-off. Huh? Mary, E.B., London, NW5. And Mary says, get a new cheap pay-as-you-go telephone and give your girlfriend the number explaining that you have mislaid your usual mobile. Leave the new mobile, switched off, down the back of a chair in her house. After a day, ring up saying you have lost your new mobile as well, but think it may be down the back of that chair. You're expecting an urgent text. Could she look through your inbox and see if it has arrived? As 10 messages from her scroll down, ask her to read out each one, in case it is something important that you may forget to tell me. With her having been confronted this way with the full extent of her fatuousness, you will soon see an end to the nuisance.
I don't know that that would work.
Excuse me?
No.
Wouldn't register, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there's no indication how that relationship turned out. Sorry, let me tell you. Yeah. At 6:33,
okay.
Have we had a Jenny Jumbles?
We haven't had a jumble yet today.
Which I've had two sips of coffee.
Okay.
Just on the edge here, just on the edge of jumble.
So we'll see if you can do this. It's not very difficult.
That's
but it's
what
not
you
a word.
Always say that. Yeah,
it's not a word we use every day of the week.
Thank you, Groucho Marx. It's a common word.
That's
around
my
the house.
Hint. Okay?
Yes.
RMFOU.
Forum.
Yes.
Totally imagine being stabbed in the rotunda. All right. At 6:34, time for the Turner Classic Movie Channel. 11 a.m. this morning. Don't Look Back. Or I should probably say, Don't Look Back. 1967, directed by D.A. Pennebaker. Bob Dylan's documentary, Touring of England of 1965.
Wow.
Enjoyed that. Worth watching, yes. 4:15. Today, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
With a famous Canadian in it.
Don't Shut Me Down, Dave. 1968, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yes.
7 o'clock. Movie called Graphic Language. Sorry, it's got graphic language.
No, right.
It's called Twice in a Lifetime from 1985. Anne Margaret, Gene Hackman, Ellen Burstyn. Husband and father in his 50s has an affair. Sounds like we're just... Right. Sunday. 7 a.m. The Philadelphia Story, directed by George Cukor. Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, James Stewart. Can't see that movie too many times. 10:45 Sunday morning. The Red Balloon. From 1956. Boy discovers his new balloon has a mind of its own. 7 o'clock Sunday night, Annie Hall. 1977, directed by Woody Allen. Diane Keaton is part of it. Thank you and goodbye, Diane. Remember the opening to that? Hokey crokey.
So we should say, I said famous Canadian, and it's was Douglas Rain, who died a couple of years ago, who we never saw him.
No.
He played the voice of Hal the Computer. Yes, very well done.
And people have quoted it and made fun and done their own versions of it for decades. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Like you said, don't shut me down.
Well, and it's funny when you talk about AI and...
Yeah.
Computer taking over, and in fact, the computer does take over in 2001, as we saw. Yes. Yes. On this day, 1848, James Marshall finds gold in California. The gold rush is on, yes. 1922, Eskimo Pie, patented by Christian Kent Nelson of Iowa.
Okay.
So I don't know how that happened. He's certainly not an Eskimo, is what I was going to say. On this day in 1936,
it's cold, so he thought of the
Benny Goodman and his orchestra recorded Stompin' at the Savoy in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Now, we don't have that.
What?
What we do have is a little Benny Goodman quartet version of Stompin' at the Savoy.
All right. That'll do.
From, well, in particular, this was the famous 1938 Carnegie Hall Jazz Concert. Dig the Skins there.
Wow.
Benny Goodman Quartet.
You're
from
going at it.
Benny Goodman, the 1938 Carnegie Hall Jazz Concert. Stomping at the Savoy at 6:43. Speaking of jazz, then, yes, here on CKWFM.
Hi, I'm Keith Black, host of Voyage, 3 hours of jazz heard here at CKUW every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., or streamed and archived at ckuw.ca. I play a wide range of current jazz styles and have an historical segment each week looking back at jazz history. The current jazz scene is vibrant and exciting, and you can hear proof of that each Wednesday between 10 and 1.
Thank you, Steve.
Or Keith.
Thank you, Keith, at 6:44. Coming up to our comedy, but before we do that, take a quick look at the Free Press book pages. Today, something to scare you, maybe so if you didn't need enough already. This I see, big book reviewed in the book pages. If Russia Wins, a Scenario, by Carlo Massala. Atlantic Monthly Press, reviewed by Gerald Flood. He says, if Russia wins, is a very little book of very big ideas. Should be required reading for Democrats of every stripe. It's only 120 pages. So compelling, so plausible, you can't stop thinking about it. Yeah. Not to prophecy, but to encourage reflection, discussion, and further thought, said the author. Massala, professor of international politics in Germany and a former NATO researcher. That's in the pages of today's Winnipeg Free Press, then. If Russia Wins... Val McDermid, been thinking about her for our mystery book club.
Right.
The number that she's written. But this new book is not a mystery. It's called Winter, the Story of a Season. Winter, the Story of a Season, Carol. I'll repeat that.
Mm.
Reviewed by Andrea Geary, a Scottish crime writer.
Did she come to Canada to study any of that?
I don't think so. No. I don't think that it's any coincidence. The places where the shortest days last longest have such rich veins of noir fiction, says Val. Noir, after all, speaks to the physical dark as well as the psychological. So, slim memoir recounts stories from her childhood, growing up in Kirkcaldy on Scotland's east coast, includes personal stories, tidbits on the history of traditional autumn and winter celebrations in Scotland. Winter, then, Story of the Season, reviewed favorably in the pages of the Winnipeg Free Press. And this could be Julian Barnes' last book. He's talked about this. The subhead on this says, melds memoir, novel, essay, and farewell letter, leaving the reader to sort fiction from fact, reviewed favorably by Alison Gilmore. That's Departures, with the S in brackets. And it says, Departures, a novel. But as I say, it's a blend of things, then, is it? Yes. The final pages of what will perhaps be his final book, Barnes imagines sitting at a cafe table with his reader, having one last drink before the day ends. Barnes finds no consolation in the notion that art outlasts life, but he is determined to make an understated elegiac exit. A Winnipeg-born author, Miriam Taves, I'm looking at the Paper Chase column, Ben Sigurdsson in the Winnipeg Free Press today. Miriam Taves, finalist for the 2025 National Book Critics Circle Award in the autobiography category, A Truce That Is Not Peace. The finalists are chosen by American Book Critics, announced January 20th. Margaret Atwood was in the long list, but she didn't make the short list.
Ooh.
Winners will be announced on March 26th. Details, bookcritics.org/awards for a complete list of long-listed and short-listed books. And as I say, front page of the Arts and Life, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
Big picture of Lindsay Wong.
Oh,
a big bass
right.
author who teaches creative writing here on campus.
Yeah, you spoke to her yesterday.
For her book, Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies. A big writer by Jen Zarate. When she was growing up, Lindsay Wong was often warned of the ominous fate that could befall a woman who dies unmarried. The quote, there's this Chinese superstition called corpse marriage or Ming Hun, where if you don't get married, you're going to end up in a coffin with a corpse, someone you don't know, and that was always told to me, says the Vancouver-born, Winnipeg-based author. And indeed, corpse marriage is at the heart of Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies.
Yikes.
So, the book launch. Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies, Tuesday. It's coming right. Tuesday, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
McNally Robinson Grand Park. Q&A hosted by Jenny Hadrian Wills, who we interviewed as well.
Right.
Who teaches here as well.
Okay, as I just have one thing to say. The weather should be better on Tuesday.
There you go. I have every expectation. Yeah. Because, as you're right, I chatted with you yesterday. We'll have that interview about... Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies next Thursday on Pages.
Okay.
Radio for Readers at 5 o'clock. And we'll have the my reader's copy to give away. And then we'll repeat that interview Saturday morning, next Saturday at 7:45.
Right. I'm Lindsay Wong, author of Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies. And you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
There you go. Carol McKibben. All right, yes. Time for a poem, since we're talking about things literary.
A poem?
Certainly.
Okay.
This from the CD, Lifelines, Poets for Oxfam.
My name's Fleur Adcock, and I'm going to read a poem called A Rose Tree. When we went to live at Top Lodge, my mother gave me a rose tree. She didn't have to pay for it. It was growing there already, tall and old, by the gravel drive where we used to ride our scooters. No one else was allowed to pick the huge pale blooms that smelt like jam. It was mine all through that summer. In October we moved again, but even never seeing it couldn't stop it from being mine, one of those eternal presents. At the new house I had a duck.
From the CD Lifelines, Poets for Oxfam, 69... English-speaking, acclaimed poets. Profits went towards Oxfam's work in more than 60 countries.
Good.
At 6:50. Right, we do have time? Yes, we do have time. We don't have time. I'll tell you what I think we should do.
Yes.
As I look at the clock, we can work it in. We can work it out. From The Birth of a Label, we've been working our way through early days of Capitol Records this morning.
Yep.
Moonlight Becomes You. Bobby Sherwood and his orchestra. CD. The Birth of a Label, Capitol, Bobby Sherwood and his orchestra, at 6:53. So we're a little late, you see, but it's, for those of you who've been thinking, boy, the weather is not going to be a lot better tomorrow, is it? Just sunny.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to go to church tomorrow...
I wouldn't say just sunny. There'll be some fabulous sun out tomorrow.
There'll be some fabulous sun out tomorrow, but if you don't want to go to church tomorrow, we've got something for you right now, you see?
Oh, all right.
All right.
I have a message for you. A very sad message. My subject for this evening will be Little Bo Peep. It says here, Little Bo Peep, who was a little girl, has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Now that's reasonable, isn't it? It's reasonable to assume if Little Bo Peep had lost her sheep, it's only natural that she wouldn't know where to find it. That basically is reasonable. But leave them alone. Now that overwhelms me. Completely overwhelms me. The man said she lost a sheep. Turns right around and boldly states she doesn't know where to find them. And then has the stupid audacity to say, leave them alone. Now think for a moment, think. If the sheep were lost and you couldn't find them, you'd have to leave them alone, wouldn't you? So leave them alone. Leave them alone. It's in the book. Leave them alone. And they being the sheep, they will come home. Ah, yes, they'll come home. Oh, there'll be a brighter day tomorrow. They will come home. It's in the book. They will come home. A wagon, their tails. Pray tell me, what else could they wag? They will come home a wagon, their tails. Behind them. Behind them. Did we think they'd wag them in front? Of course, they might have come home in reverse. They could have done that, I really don't know. But nonetheless, it's in the book. Now, if you will kindly pick up your books and turn to page 222, we'll ask you all to sing. You'll find your books on the backs of your seats. Are we ready? Everyone, 222, let's really enjoy ourselves. Let's live it up all together. You remember Grandma's Lysol, good for everything in the home. And the secret was in the scrubbing. It wouldn't suds and couldn't foam. Then let us all sing right out of Grandma's Lysol, useful for everything. Everything on the place, the pots and kettles, the dirty dishes, and for your hand, and for your face, all for your hands. Shall we now sing the second verse? Let's fill it with a great exuberance. Let's live it up. It's not raining inside tonight. Everyone, let's have a happy time. Are we ready? All together, the second verse. Little Herman and Brother Thurman had an aversion to washing their ears. Grandma scrubbed them with the Lysol, and they haven't heard a word in years. Then let us all sing right out of them. Oh, Grandma's Lysol, sing all out. All over the plates, the pots and the kettles, the dirty dishes, and also hands, and also hands. Well, let's sing what's left of the last verse. Let's have a happy time, everyone. The last verse all together. Everyone. Thank you kindly, kindly. Mrs. O'Malley, out in the valley, suffered from ulcers, I understand. She swallowed a cake of Grandma's Lysol, has the cleanest ulcers in the land. Then let her.